bonkin', everybody. My name is Tom Marks, and welcome to Take Your Time. I'm joined by the already embarrassed of me, Jonathan Dornbush. Jonathan, hello.
I'm not embarrassed. I'm annoyed because that's how I was going to introduce myself this week. I was going to respond to you and say, what's bonkin', Tom?
This is real bonkin' embarrassing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's bonkin' ridiculous. That's how we get around the censors around here. We'll just use bonkin' now.
Yeah.
Keep it family friendly.
All those censors monitoring this channel.
It's ridiculous just how much the MPAA weirdly rates us like we're a film, but, you know, I don't know why we have to keep going back for the R cut, but, yeah.
Well, if you are here for the super spicy red band episode of Take Your Time, welcome. No, we're going to keep it fresh.
It's 10 a.m. in the morning, Tom.
I know, right? No, this is, of course, Take Your Time, a podcast where we play Persona 5 Royal in real time along with the in-game calendar. And we are already up into May 17th to the 23rd this week, which was last week. It's a kind of a mix of a week, right? We got the deadline set for the next chapter of the game that we're going into with the Madarame Palace, and free time began, the palace opened up, and we entered fully into this section of the game. But before we get to that, we do have, as some people might have pieced together from our lovely greeting this morning, our pop quiz answer from last week. So pop quiz, we always ask a question at the end of last week for the audience to answer going forward. Last week, my question was, in one of Ryuji's confidant encounters or sessions or whatever you want to call them, he was greeted by a senpai of his, an old student from Shujin, and he greeted this person with what he called cool new slang he was trying out. And I asked, what is that slang? And it was, in fact, what's bonkin'? Which is, coincidentally, for no connection whatsoever, is really incredible. Also, what our new intro for the show is going to be.
Yeah, well, what's bonkin'? It's weird I came up on with completely on my own with that. It was impressive to say on my part, but, you know, I guess it'll be a reference now.
It's serendipitous. a couple people did guess. Our very own Barrett Courtney, friend of the show, of course, did send me a cryptic tweet in the middle of last week that just said, what's bonkin', Tom? And I was like, I see what you're doing here. We also had a YouTube comment from Mitch who said Ryuji seems bonkin' in his confidant, which is a nice way to, you know, guess but not give it away. And then finally also Aaron in the YouTube comment said, I have no idea, but given what a good boy and teammate Ryuji is, his new slang is nice to steal ya, which is, I think, also very good.
I like that one a lot too. I would use that as like a, I don't know, I guess like as a farewell maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I think so. But we didn't specify, I guess it was a greeting. And true. Also, I don't even know it necessarily, like, he uses it as a greeting, but, like,
it could be anything.
What? Yeah, it's just, it's one of those wonderful little weird things. I don't even know if he ever brings it up again.
I mean, that's sometimes, I think, the funniest parts of this game are, like, things that will happen once and they really, really stick out, but then they're just never brought up again.
Yeah.
And
like
I mean,
last week's Morgana petting with the button mashing.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
It doesn't come up again.
And like, granted, it is a, you know, 100-hour plus game, 70 if you're speedrunning it. And so like, it's understandable that things wouldn't come up. But yeah, I do think there's like, this is a long-term discussion to have later. But like, the comedy part of my brain is like, it would be great if there was some way to bring some of these jokes back later in the game. I'm sure, obviously, there is stuff that does come back. But yeah, some of the jokes I wish did like pop up here and there.
Before we get into the week, one of my favorite running sort of like side character jokes is there's this host, this like club host on Central Street in Shibuya that is like clearly not Japanese, and like all his dialogue is about how he like needs to learn Japanese better. And this week, if you talk to him on Central Street, he's actually like practicing his pitch on a cat. Like, there's just a cat sitting there, and he's like,
oh,
hey, dude, why don't you come to this dope club? No, not that I'm calling you a dope. Oh, man, I need to get better at my Japanese. And it's just, like, really adorable. And that's one of those things where, like, that's one of those characters you can check in on occasionally and, like, always have a little dialogue.
So I've completely not checked in on him this run, but you saying that, I'm, like, 90% sure, because that is like triggering some sort of memory in my brain. I think sure. I ran into him in the first game. Like I would check in on him, but I just completely forgot to do that this time. I should go do that.
There's a lot of those little secret things that they reward you for engaging with the world in that way. And that's also, to be frank, one of the ways I like to use the pop quiz questions is like, are you talking to people? Let's talk to some fun people and grab some little tidbits out of it. But let's get into the actual week. As we said, May 17th to the 23rd, the deadline is set and free time begins. So right kicking it off on May 17th, we are, the Phantom Thieves are in that little like kind of courtyard area of Shujin, just kind of talking about their next plans, talking about how An's going to go get painted later that day by Yusuke. And we see some more Makoto snooping. This time she's interrogating Mishima from across the yard, basically.
When that scene popped up, I very much was like, oh no, we're so, like, the first time, because it's like, that dude's gonna sing, come on, like, he's our PR. Yeah. But if there was ever anyone who was gonna be the rat, it's gonna be, but no, he you know, he's a good PR boy, and I don't want to, that was my initial impression when I first played the game, but of course
he does have, like, he gives snitch vibes.
Yeah,
let's just put it that way.
I mean, like, to be fair, he is also the one who just comes up to you and is like, hey, Phantom Thieves, I love you. And it's like, that's why the dialogue option is so funny, to be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Because, like, hey, having these conversations out in the open, not the best move to be having. But
Yeah, there's a moment like that actually later in this day, too. But the bulk of this day is that the Phantom Thieves have decided to confront Yusuke. When last we left off, the Phantom Thieves had decided to confront Yusuke more forcefully, I guess, about the abuse of Madarame now that they saw it in the palace and the stealing and all that jazz. So they had An agree to go allow Yusuke to paint her, and they're all coming along.
Exactly what Yusuke wanted.
Yeah, right. And they get there, and This is again one of my favorite moments of, like, getting a little bit of a glimpse of, like, who Yusuke actually is, I guess, where they sit down and they're, like, planning to ask him questions while he's painting, and then he literally just goes into this, like, fugue state where he just cannot hear them talking even, and is just painting, like, focusing on his painting. And they're just sitting there next to him, like, bored out of their minds.
Yeah, they're like, and, like, they're even openly talking, like, man, this isn't going how we thought it would. And it's just like, he's right there, which I, you know, I respect the candor to be able to just say that in front of him. But yeah, you're totally right. Like, it gives you a little bit of insight into his, like, I don't know if I want to say, like, obsessive, but, like, as, in terms of, like, what sort of artist he is meant to be portrayed as, he is very much like the absorbed by what he does kind of artist. Like, it is very much the, oh, I could see why this kid would be wanting to learn from a famed painter and, you know, going to live in his humble shack to learn from him, because art is everything for him.
Yeah, and you also get one of those one of my favorite moments of, like, early on when you don't know him, it's a little more confusing, but, like, one of those moments where you're like, oh, maybe he isn't, like, a total creep, because he does that thing where I think Ryuji or someone asks him about, like, On being cute or something like that, and he's just, like, adamantly, very, like, genuinely, like, I have absolutely no interest in her as a member of the opposite sex. And On is like, wait, what? Like,
yeah.
Like, she has this moment where she's like, hang on, what?
Yeah, I don't feel qualified to necessarily talk about it. Like, at least my read of Yusuke has always been someone who I guess would lean more toward, like, asexuality.
Right.
It's lines like that where, like, he doesn't even necessarily, like, to him, I don't think sex is really a thought.
Right.
And especially during this case, like, you're totally right. It was like Ryuji who's like, careful, we're watching you if you end up being a pervert. And he's like, what? I am just trying to create perfection in art, and this is like,
it's like
the,
he doesn't
subject
even process to him.
Yeah, and it's and I could be completely off base on my, like, you know, thought about him, but yeah, it is a very interesting way they go about revealing that, because I do feel Like, it is very obvious to think it's going to go in that direction, and it's intentionally and so.
Yeah, and that's why it's like there are all these moments where like it. I mean, his character is literally introduced initially as a stalker, right? Like, that is the way you're supposed to think about him. So there are these moments where it's showing you that, like, no, like, that's not his deal. Like, he's a weirdo, right? Not because of any sexual preference, just like he is like a kind of a weird dude generally in how he handles himself, being like, absolutely not, like, and On is almost like offended a little bit, like, and he's like, is that a problem? And she's like, no, I guess not. like she has to like kind of like question her own kind of like how she feels about it. It's just like a very funny little moment and very telling about the character in a way that you don't, like, you're not sure how to feel about him yet because he is being a weirdo, and we will get to it, continues to be a weirdo in this very day. Morgana gets bored during this painting session and decides to go off and search the house, basically, while Madarame is out, and ends up finding this very flashily painted door with like a peacock feathers on it and a giant lock on it, and I guess it's just like gone for hours, but that's the only thing we see Morgana do.
Yeah, the time frame of it all has always been a little strange to me. I assume it like it's obviously enough time that it's curious that he's gone for so long. But yeah, then, you know, enough happens within the main painting scenario to get things going.
Right. And then basically what happens is Yusuke says he's not feeling it. He's not in the right groove. He doesn't know what he's doing. It's not turning out right. And On has to come back some other time. And Ryuji is Ryuji and yells real loud about this. And is basically like, I can't believe you made us wait here for hours. It's like, Ryuji, you weren't invited, man.
How like, dare you do this to us in your own home that we weren't really supposed to be here for? Yeah,
right.
It's a very strange scenario, but it's perfectly Ryuji, because like at the end of the day, he is focused on their mission and is just kind of like the reasons for how they got there aside, he's just focused on getting to this next beat to, you know, finding out the truth, to dealing with these terrible adults, and is just like, you know, what's going on with Madarame? Like they kind of get to the point very quickly with Ryuji.
And this one is slanted towards, right, it's like, it's not just what's going on with Madarame. It's like trying to be like, hey, man, we know. Like, and it's like it has a different tone than the first time.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Where the first time they're just confronting him about Madarame. This time they're like really more confronting him with concern for him. Right.
Yeah.
It's coming across as that sort of tone a little bit more, which I think is an important distinction and kind of allows them to like ask the right questions a little bit more, because On does this thing that's like, hey, you were really off put by that painting we saw, like the painting I liked in the Madarame exhibit, like you painted that, didn't you?
Yeah.
And like that's something that he can't really like weasel out of as much with like just lying and denying it.
Yeah, I didn't write down the specific dialogue, but he essentially like he clearly can't lie there, but he doesn't outright admit and go into detail about things, but he sort of He does everything but say, like, yes, here's the full situation, because he's,
right.
You know, like, the shock of it. You're totally right. Like, the concerned approach they take is, I think, not just really important in this moment, but a through line to what we were talking sort of at the end of the Kamoshida Palace, where it's like, hey, they have good intentions in what they're doing. Like, yes, they are doing things that are very emotionally invasive and, like, you know, life-changing for many people, you know, hopefully for the better, but what they're doing does cross lines that you're not used to crossing, but they're doing it genuinely out of concern, and I think, as you were saying, like, showing that here is very important, because if it was just them being like, we heard Madarame's bad, tell us he's bad, and that's where it ended, and they're like, yep, he's bad, what, like, where's the tension, where's the, like, personal stakes, where's any of that in there?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, it's exactly that. I won't dogpile onto that, because I think you hit the nail on the head. The interesting thing that ends up happening is that Yusuke basically says, he puts a spin on it that you're not really expecting, which is that he says Madarame has artist block, right? And I and some of his pupils help him out because he's had this terrible artist's block. So we offer our work to him so that he may take it, so that he's not, like, shunned from the art community or whatever the implication is there of him having artist's block being terrible. And the Phantom Thieves sort of push back on that, but Yusuke sort of doesn't really give them time to debate it, because then he just gets fed up and is like, I'm gonna call the police on all of you. And, like, suddenly it's escalated and you're realizing, oh yeah, they're, like, trespassing in another person's house interrogating them. This is, like, they're kind of on thin ice here.
Yeah, and it's showing, I think, like, the evolution that we get in basically, like, we're not just dealing with things at their school anymore. Things are taking a further step up. We need to consider all of that. We need to, you know, think about the implications of them being in the real world, going out to do these things to a case that is, as they point out at first, not really connected to them. That I think sells the gravity of, oh, right, we're somewhere else where we shouldn't necessarily, like, things, there are consequences to our actions right now, potentially.
Yeah, and interestingly, although, again, we'll talk about this in a moment, or probably next week, actually, but anyway, so suddenly the deadline is set not by Madarame, as it was with Kamoshida, but the deadline is set by Yusuke, saying, and he puts out, and this is where it gets creepy again, but again, like, it's creepy, but Yusuke is sort of genuine about it, but you don't really know this at the time, but basically he says, I'm gonna contact the police and report all of you, unless on lets me paint her nude. And I literally, in my notes, I have this as, unless On poses nude for him, and then in parentheses, but, like, only sort of in a weird way. It's like, because he does this weird thing where he gets kind of, like, weirdly, like, oh, like, excited about it, but he's, like, only excited about, like, the art part of it. He's not really excited about, like, it's not about necessarily, like, it kind of seems genuine to me that it's not about seeing On naked. It's about, like, he wants to create this perfect ideal of art that he has in his head.
Yeah, very, but very much so.
But that also doesn't matter to, like, On and the gang, who are like, what?
No, totally. It's one of those very weird things where, like, I think we can say, like, unequivocally, him essentially blackmailing her to pose nude for his paintings, even if his, you know, meaning is altruistically for the purpose of art, is still right. Messed up. Like, it is still messed up in the sequence. I think part of it comes from him, as we were saying, like, not always knowing the best way to communicate to other people. Yeah. Like, that's very much, I think, part of his personality as we're introduced to, because he, as you said, starts off by awkwardly stalking to try to, you know, ask On if he can paint her. It is, like, without a doubt, the worst way he could have gone about it. to ask in this way. And it's terrible, and it's absolutely wrong. But I do agree with you in the end that, like, I genuinely don't think he is asking because he's like, ooh, I will get to see a naked lady. Like, I don't think that is part of this character. But the scene, and granted, the scene leaves it up for, you're not friends with Yusuke.
You're still figuring it out.
You've known this dude for 2 days. It's real messed up of him to ask this stuff this way. And it's, you know, it puts everyone, and particularly On, in this strange situation of, like, okay, where do we go from here with this? Because that's a big thing to ask a teenager, even if they are a teenager who does modeling. Like, that's,
yeah,
it's crossing a line. That's, you know.
Yeah, and luckily he is also a teenager. Like, about this is, like, there, we've talked about it before and we will talk about it in the future.
Yeah.
That there are things in this game that are gross, right? Yeah. And they're gross from, like, a writing perspective, not like a, it's meant to be gross in the story. This is, I think, one of the moments where it is meant to be gross in the story, right?
Yeah.
Like, it is not, this isn't, like, I think they frame it correctly as being, like, On is furious about it.
Yeah.
And the others are like, well, we're, like, not going to let you do that, right? Like, we're not going to, like, have you go through that. So, like, what do we do? I guess we got to change his heart, right?
Yeah. Well, and especially, of course, Morgana doesn't want her to go through that. Naturally, if there's anyone in the group who wants to protect Lady On, it's Morgana. But
there's a line, I think, in the next day, actually, where Morgana, when they're prepping for the thing, Morgana says that it's not just Yusuke on the line, it's Lady An's chastity is also on the line. And it's like, you didn't need to say that, man.
Yep. calm down, you cat. It's like, all right. Let's not be so overtly horny, my dude.
So this is an important moment, though, because they eventually leave Madarame's house, and they're basically just trying to, like, figure out what to do, right? And this is an important turning point, because the day before, they were basically like, well, this doesn't necessarily involve us. Madarame is not necessarily... It's not like Kamoshida, where they are directly being affected by this in negative ways. It was, like, other people's lives. And so they asked Yusuke, and then suddenly Yusuke got them involved, and now it's about them again, right? Yeah. Now it's about their own safety and security in some way, and so suddenly they have a reason to change Madarame's heart that is personal again, which is important because, you know, they have made this pact of, like, we're not going to just do this willy-nilly, right?
Yeah.
Which, again, is very important.
Absolutely.
And then, I guess we didn't meet her yet, but a photographer comes along who you will later learn is named Oya, but, and is basically also looking into Madarame and, like, looking for leads. And I love that Oya, this, like, adult reporter, just, like, walks up to a bunch of kids outside Madarame's house and is like, hey, you kids know anything about Madarame? And he's, like, very, like, good job.
Yeah, that's, you know, journalism 101. Just go up to people and ask, hey, you know anything about that guy? That's, you know, that's how you get man on the street interviews. You just, hey, what do you think of that thing? And then you get, you get a quote for your story, you get two sources, you print. Journalism, we figured it out. But yeah, no, it is, it's a very funny just sort of, again, the game setting things up for later, and seeding characters that can become more important later on, but it is a very funny, like, chance encounter at this moment.
Right. So they decide, they meet her. I think she gives them, like, her card, just to, like, call me if you need me sort of thing, which is, like, fine.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing that's worth mentioning for her is that she mentions the Sayori.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's looking into stuff around the Sayuri and rumors that it was, like, stolen or something like that.
Yeah, I believe that it was stolen.
Yeah.
Was the worry.
And then they decide, basically, at this point, that they're going to still change Madarame's heart, or that they should... It's probably their only out, more is kind of what they figure at this point.
Yeah.
And they split up for the night, and when you get back to your house, or you get back to Levon, two kind of... continuing things happen. One, Mishima texts you or calls you, I think it's calls, and is basically like, a guy named Nakanohara, who was the guy that you changed his heart that led gave you the name Madarame in Mementos, he was like, a guy named Nakanohara who had his heart changed reached out to me and wants to meet up with you because he has somebody he wants you to change their heart for. And this is, again, one of my continued favorite things, that you can just keep, like, ghosting Mishima and just be like, okay, but why me? Like, why are you telling me this?
Yeah. That's ridiculous. why would he need... But also, like, why are you sending this man to talk to the Phantom Thieves directly?
Yeah, it's just... It's not a good move, no. Mishima.
We appreciate the support, my dude. We really, really do. But yeah, don't blow our cover like that. Come on.
Yeah.
Man. No, I like Mishima a lot, though.
And then the other thing you hear is that Ryuji texts you and is basically like, he's been looking into rumors and heard that maybe one of Madarame's pupils might have committed suicide at some point. And so you're finding out that you're getting more and more indication that this is, like, something you should be looking into more.
Mm.
And then you get the evening to hang out and watch TV or do whatever you want to do. That's the last kind of, like, story beat before the next day.
Yeah, I think it's there's a little bit, not to jump too far ahead, but it's very clear within the next day when they talk about things that, like, the student who committed suicide of his very much rings true for On and everything that just happened with Shiho, and, you know,
right.
it helps to, again, just further cement both the personal stakes, literally, like, for their involvement in the story, and also their emotional stakes for why they continue to... Not that they wouldn't care, obviously, about a student having committed suicide of his, but it just, it further... It finds ways to further connect it to their story so far, and I think the way the game does that throughout the whole story, really, is usually pretty well done.
Yeah. Yeah, it ties them in more, and that's the part that was... I guess literally a day ago missing a little bit, right? Was yeah. Like that, their personal involvement.
Yeah.
What did you do with the evening?
I watched, I think it's the Bubbly Hills.
Bubbly Hills 90210.
Yes. Yeah. Which is also sort of like, it's very, it both satirizes that, but also feels like it's satirizing Laguna Beach and like the reality side of it. Like it kind of feels like a combo. Yeah. Where I was like, oh yeah, this is basically, it could either be the OC or Laguna Beach, like either, you know, scripted and written, or scripted and written and just pretending to be real. And so whichever form it takes, I enjoy listening to that, their silly parody of it a lot. What did you end up doing?
I made coffee, I think. Coffee is like a really, I like making coffee if I don't have anything like really pressing to do, because it gets you friendship with Sojiro and gets you SP items, and SP items are super useful, and friendship with Sojiro is like, he's in my experience one of the confidants that takes like the most work between levels to kind of get him up, at least early on especially.
Well,
so
I
even
think
just those little points here can help.
That's why I think those points are there. You're totally right, because I remember the first game when I was trying to level up Sojiro, like I would hang out sometimes two or three times in between just to get him to the next point. And I wasn't thinking about, oh, if I just made coffee, it probably would help. But yeah, it absolutely does. You're totally right.
But also, I think, and commenters, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe in the base game, because there is a point where certain confidants will kind of be like capped until later in the story at certain times.
Yeah.
And in the base game, I think that there was no clear indication that there was a cap on Sojiro, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay.
Like, you could just keep hanging out with him and those points would build up, but they wouldn't ever, it wouldn't ever stop you. And I think in Royal, it will actually stop you once you hit a certain level with him.
Okay.
I might be wrong about that, but I seem to remember that being a distinction between the two, why sometimes it would feel like you could just pump a million points into Sojiro in the base game and it wouldn't do anything.
It makes sense. Yeah.
But again, I might be misremembering that, but
we'll
I think
out.
That was the way it handled. Yeah. Moving on to May 18th, we have a bit of a story thing at the beginning. You are contacted by Nakanohara in real life, who is told by Mishima to find somebody in a Shujin uniform with a cat at the Shibuya station, which again, Mishima, what are you doing, man? It's like just really blowing up our spot here.
At least we're not meeting in a like busy place though, you know, where a lot of people could see us.
Yeah,
it's very
right.
good that this is a very low key spot. Yeah, no, it's one
just
of those funny things.
Train
where,
station,
like at least just, you know, I create a DM on the fan site, like just make that work. It probably would have served it, but also, you know, it is an important scene that I think it does take place in person that they get this information. But yeah, it is a funny, like, well, if you think about what this means for their cover, if someone were paying attention, perhaps it would not be great. But yeah.
Yeah. It's a good thing that we know that nobody is following them and at all in any way.
Whatsoever.
And nobody is looking into their situation at all in any way.
And talking to Mishima specifically this week about those things. But yeah, I think the meeting, as I said, I think it, you know, it helps to further solidify like their personal stakes, their emotional like vindication in wanting to have to deal with him. I think it's a well done scene that further solidifies all that stuff rather than just kind of like beating the point over the head necessarily.
Well, it also kind of it's important because it also makes it not about them. And I know we just talked about how it's important that it is about them, but it's kind of important that it is about them for like you as a player to be invested.
Yes.
But like suddenly they have a victim of Madarame.
Totally.
Specifically not knowing that they're looking into it at all. Specifically asking them to please change his heart because Yusuke is trapped there, and he's worried for Yusuke.
Yep.
So now they know, like, he's Nakanohara even says, like, I asked Yusuke why he doesn't leave, and he said, if I could, I would,
yeah.
Right? So now we have this perspective of, like, oh, Yusuke isn't happy there, but, like, is trapped pretty much in his own mind, and, like, he can't leave kind of mentally because he can't leave. Which I think is a very relatable thing, but yeah, it's important now that they are being asked directly by someone involved to intervene in Madarame's heart. And, like, that is, now they have the whole puzzle, right?
Yeah.
Now they have the whole thing of, like, they have a reason to do it for themselves. They have a person who was, like, directly, they know is being directly negatively impacted by this. And they have a person who was directly negatively impacted by this asking them to look into it. And so it's like, okay, now they have every reason to do this.
Yeah.
Which, again, this game could so easily have just been them running from, like, palace to palace with not really much explanation.
Totally, yeah. And, like, they would have been fun palaces that didn't mean as much. But, yeah, you're totally right, and forgive me. I think the reason I was hampering on the emotional connection to them was more so just that, like, I think, without spoiling it, the game continues to get bigger and bigger, obviously, but it always keeps their reason, like, they always do have a reason at the end of the day for caring about their next mission, and so it totally, but you are absolutely right for pointing out, and I forgot to write it down in my notes, but yeah, the Nakanohara mentioning Yusuke and mentioning how he feels trapped, and, you know, having a former pupil say, hey, this other pupil died, like, committed suicide right. because they couldn't handle it. Like, setting up, there is more going on here than just a guy stealing some art from impressionable kids. Which is, yeah. you know, bad, but it's much more than that. Like, there is an emotional vampire situation going on here that is wrecking people's lives.
Yeah. It's also an interesting thing because it's one of the very few times where you, like, have a conversation with someone in Mementos whose heart you've changed after mm-hmm. you've had, or I guess it's just, like, one of the few times you've had a conversation with anyone whose heart you change, right?
Yeah.
And you get this perspective of him being, like, well, when Madarame kicked me out, like, and cut me off of the art world, I didn't have art in my life, and therefore I got really depressed, and I became a stalker, and I did all these terrible things that I regret. And, like, it's really interesting because you don't get that perspective very often in this game of, like, oh, we changed this human being's, like, mind. And, like, then you see, like, oh, actually, this is, like, kind of, like, it's good. Like,
yeah.
he is better for it, and he understands what he did.
And the thing with him, too, is that I don't think the game, by telling you all this, is trying to, like, excuse his, you know, stalkerishness
sure.
or like, explain it away as, like, he's a good guy at heart. It's like, no, he fully cops to having done bad things and is just, like, giving you the emotional understanding and the mental reasoning of how a system of abuse can kind of trickle down.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a thing that'll pop up again and again about how those something happening here can affect someone, you know, multiple people away in really dramatic ways. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. After that, they go and meet at their new hideout, which, oh my god, Phantom Thieves. This is, like, one of the most inexplicable things in this entire video game, and I love it just because it's so dumb.
You gotta assume Mishima picked it out.
Yeah, right. Their new hideout is just a walkway in Shibuya Station in public. Their hideout is just, like, there's people next to them in the shot
yep.
when they're in their hideout.
It, like, would be better to just go to the alleyways in Yangonjaya. Like, just hang out by the dumpsters over there, or I don't
yeah.
know. No one else is ever doing laundry. Just go hang out. Like, yes, don't get me wrong. It's visually very cool when they're up there and the mission start happens on the glass in the background.
The glass, yeah.
It looks awesome. Don't get me wrong. And there's nothing about this game, you know, if not to say they want things to look awesome. But yeah, it doesn't really make sense to go with a hideout that's in public, completely in public.
It's just totally so amazing.
Yeah.
It's just, like, wonderful how insane it is. But while there, they go over kind of everything they discussed already. They go over all the reasons we just talked about. They basically confirm, okay, we're doing this. Mission start appears on the window. And you get this kind of weird message that we wanted to dig into because we wanted to make sure we addressed early on here, which is there's this pop-up, tutorial pop-up that's basically like some palaces you might need to go into multiple times. And this is something that, you know, a little bit of spoilers if you haven't done the palace yet, but no story spoilers. There are occasionally palaces, and this is one of them, where you have to go into it and you'll be stopped at a certain point in the palace. Your progress will stop. You'll have to leave, do something else, and then you can go back in and finish the palace. And that can, like, if you're not saving regularly and you don't realize that and you save the palace to the very end, you, like, can just get screwed that way, right? Because you don't know that that's coming.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, another reason that it is good to do it semi-early, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, or at the very least, like, split it up and get it started early, and which right. is sort of what my approach will probably end up being. But yeah, it's... I think this one does tell you that, like, June 5th is the target. So you're essentially, like, first day in the palace shouldn't be later than June 2nd.
Right.
I think gets established, which is, you know, nice to help out, but I don't know if the game explicitly, like, states that stuff later on. And, yeah, it is just definitely a warning as we go through the next weeks to, you know, take your time with the game in general, but maybe not jumping into the palace at the very last minute.
Yeah,
it is... Oh no, we both went silent.
No, you got to do it.
Exciting radio, everyone. just wanted to let you know what was bonking in my head, sort of about my personal flow and preference is to, when there's a chance to split up Palace Days, is to kind of do a few free days, Palace Day, free days, Palace Day, free days. Like, I do like that cadence, but for some people, you know, just doing the Palace all at once may be more fun, waiting. And doing a ton of free time first may be more fun. Like, I think whichever way you go about it is not wrong. Just don't do it too late.
Yeah, and just to talk about real quick, address how we're going to do this for the show. We have, calendar-wise, there's going to be another week of... Next week is going to be an entire week of free time. And then the deadline... There's going to be some free time and then the deadline in the following week. So the way we're going to break up our discussion of the palace this time is we're going to talk about that first section of the palace and kind of the thing that mandatorily happens right after it, without spoilers, next week. And then we're going to talk about the rest of the palace and the boss and the finale of it the final week alongside the deadline. So we're going to break it up a little bit because then we can talk about kind of some of the big stuff that happens in the middle of it next week and then the rest of it after.
And that's June, Tom. We're in June.
Yeah, well, you know, the good news about playing it in real time is that that's still a couple weeks away.
Yeah, it'll get here quick.
No, it's a week away. I don't know what's going on.
Time. It's almost as if doing a show based on a calendar still has not affected the passage of time and how quickly it goes for us. Yeah. But that's a conversation for my podcast all about time, which is weirdly not this show. But... Yeah, it's. I think it made sense for us, and we had talked about it before the show, just because there was enough, like, setup here. Like, we can, you know, pulling back the curtain, we're already over a half hour into this show, and we only went through 2 days, because there's a lot to establish at the beginning of this. But I think we'll want to give the entirety of the palace, and it can be a pretty long one, it's due, for sure.
Yeah, totally. So that's that. Speaking of, about like 80 to 90% of people went either to the palace or Mementos on the first day. I did not. What did you do, Jonathan? Hustle.
I didn't either. Yeah. I did two jobs for the afternoon and evening. I worked at the flower shop during the day because what day of the week was that? Who's to say? But I think it was a day where you get more money. So I want to say it was a Wednesday. That would make sense based on our calendar. I think it was a Wednesday.
It was a Wednesday.
So I went to the flower shop to make more money and to be kind. And then in the evening, I worked at the beef bowl shop because I hadn't started doing that yet and wanted to be able to get the politician confidant going. What about
you? I hung out and leveled up to Kemi for the day. So now I have access to new support items. Or no. Never mind. I don't have access to new support items. I will later this week when I hang out with Takemi again.
Fair enough. Also, you can just say it. You access to new drugs. She's giving you more drugs.
I got the good drugs now. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And then I also hung out with, or I actually got Yoshida, the politician, as a confidant in the evening. Nice.
Yeah.
So that finally happened, which is great because you start getting some pretty cool ones, some pretty good skills pretty early from him. The funny thing about Yoshida, and this isn't a spoiler to say, I don't think, is that he's the most kind of, like, outside of one other that'll come up later that I won't spoil now, he's one of the most rigid and easy to sort of schedule out, because you can only ever hang out with him on Sundays, which is part of why I wanted to get him done this week before Sunday, because then I could immediately get a Sunday to hang out with him. Yeah, so he's easy to slip in because you just kind of always know, like, oh, Sunday evening I'm just going to hang out with Yoshida and I'll do that. And I like that routine in my life. Every Sunday, I go to the shopping network, I get a smoothie, and I hang out with Yoshida. It's very nice.
It's like having brunch in the park with the guys, you know, the older men in Central Park who play chess. You're going to hang out with your politician friend.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I did not know that, so I will definitely, at least hopefully for next Sunday, get him to a place where we can hang out.
He's also really easy, like, because he's only available once a week for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I ever really, like, you don't really have to very often spend, like extra days getting him to the next level very often.
Cool.
Like, he happens pretty, at a pretty brisk pace.
Do you have a sun persona, like, while doing it, or...
No, this was actually the thing I was going to ask you about. So I don't think that I've unlocked any sun personas yet.
I don't think we have either. I'm going to quickly look because I have the basically list of personas up.
I don't believe we have access, or at least I haven't crafted them. But this is a thing I do, and it was a thing I was going to ask you about. I generally almost always buy... There's sort of a dance, right, to, like, your persona collection of, like... I almost always buy a persona if I don't have one of the confidant, because it does get you so many points and they're expensive, but, like, man, are they worth it to just, like, get just so many more confidant points when you're having those dialogue choices with people.
Oh, absolutely. I'll allow it in the first couple of weeks because sometimes it's just, like, sure, the reality of when I've been to the palace. But if I don't have a persona of their type, I just won't hang out with people. Like, I very much, it's so, especially for first time players, like, I cannot express how important it is, especially if you're using, like, a guide to look up the right answers and whatnot, and you want the most points, like, if that's why you're doing it, have the persona, because it really does only help, especially to erase some of the in-between hangout times that you'll need, which are valuable time you could be using, you know, elsewhere, which is not the greatest way to look at friendships in real life, I understand, but I don't level up my friendships in real life to get skills. If I did, I'd probably live my life very differently. but in game, you want those points. So yeah, definitely always have one. And to go back to the sun persona question, the first one you can unlock is Suzaku. It's a sun persona that is only obtained through fusion in the Velvet Room.
Okay, so it probably is available, I just haven't, like, we haven't stumbled upon it.
Yeah, this page is not showing me what you need to fuse it, but yeah, you have to get it from a fusion rather than just, like, in a dungeon, but yeah.
Right, eventually that'll change, but at least for now, like you said, it's not a huge deal. I mean, like, you haven't even unlocked Yoshida as a confidant, right?
Exactly.
So, like, doesn't... It's not a huge deal. The quick tip I will always tell everybody is that there's this funny part of the persona dance is make sure you don't combine your personas until you are, like, in a palace or in Mementos, because you'll never know what you're going to need, right? So, like, having a full roster out, like, in the day-to-day is great. And then when you get into the thing, you, like, condense it so that you have room to get new ones.
Yeah.
And then... A mistake I always make is ending a trip to Mementos or the palace by combining and then going back out and being like, oh, I should have kept all those personas so that I could use them for confidant stuff.
Yeah, but yeah, and then you got to take, like, unnecessary trips back to the,
right,
to the Velvet Room, combine, fuse, you know, register, whatnot. Yeah, it's a...
The Velvet Room is purgatory. It is just like, you just spend so much time there.
Yeah. And just to get yelled at by two cops and an old man by a desk.
He doesn't yell at you. Cops yell at you.
Just the cops. He more snidely is like, oh, you fool, you don't understand these things I'm saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was that day for me.
Cool. All right. So moving on to May 19th then. Since neither of us... Yeah, so Yusuke kind of yells at you in the train station to start this thing. He sort of gives you attitude of basically just like, this is very serious and I will call the police, just like putting the fire under you again a little bit. And then you just get free time. I actually did the first part of the palace this week.
Me too. I did mine on the 20th, so...
Okay, so yeah. I did mine on the 19th, and I got through all that, but we'll talk about that stuff next week.
Yep.
And then what did you do for the day of the 19th?
I was thinking about going in that day, but it was raining, so I studied because of the rain, to get a little bit more knowledge point. And then I went to the bathhouse, cause you get a little bit extra as well. I did, I think I went to the cafe on Central Street and got Knowledge and Guts. And then I went to, the bathhouse and got Charm and Guts. And it's great when it's like, oh, it was too hot for you, buddy. It was real tough. And Joker's just on the floor like, oh my God. Why did I do that?
The bathhouse is something I didn't do a lot of in my first playthrough.
I did like, it so much game. For some reason. I really, really, that was like my way to get Charm was to go there.
Okay. But, yeah, yep. That's fair.
You know, never been to one.
And you got a bunch of Guts, which is good because Guts is needed right now for the whole EY thing.
Yeah.
And then
so
I, oh yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh no. Yeah. I was just going to say, and then, so you had an evening in.
Yeah. So yeah. I had an evening in the house in LeBlanc that I could spend. And since it was bad weather, I had actually a really weirdly productive evening. Since it was bad weather, I had lockpick materials from having gone to the palace. So I was able to make 4 lockpicks. And then I also got an extra lockpick out of it, which is just like a lucky thing you can get.
Oh, nice.
And then also that leveled me to proficiency 3.
Oh, wow.
So I ended up getting 5 lockpicks for the materials of 4 on a day I should have only been able to make 3 and then also got a level up out of it. And it was just like super, super worth it.
That's a good
super,
day.
Super worth it. Yeah, that was a really good evening spent. The next day, midterm scores!
Yes.
Hooray! We find out about our midterms. And I think we both were at knowledge too. So we probably both were just like, what is it? Just above the average, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. You put in all that effort and they're like, huh, you did all right. It was pretty good. And you're like, oh my God, I tried so hard.
It's just like real tests.
Yeah. But yeah, I was above average as well. And so you get a couple extra knowledge points for that, which is nice. Cause I don't think we wanted to say too much, but that is the reason to be at the knowledge level you need to for midterms is essentially then you get the bonus knowledge points after the fact and you can get the most by being at the next knowledge level. So yeah.
Oh, you don't get knowledge for getting your midterm score.
Do you not? I thought you did.
You get charm.
Oh. Okay.
Because everyone looks at you and goes, "Ooh, he's smart." So your charm goes up.
That is not how high school went for me. That is not even remotely realistic. My God.
It's one of those amazing little things. Charm, I feel like of all of the stats, charm is the one that you get in the weirdest moments.
Yeah.
Like going to a bathhouse or doing well on a test. Like, and I guess the idea is that it's kind of like confidence sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Smart is sexy. But at the same time, that's not how high school went for me at all. especially at a very academically, like, rigorous high school where a lot of us were competing for the top of the class. It was, no one ever looked at me like, oh, great job. You were the only one who got 100 on that test. It was like, oh, you got 100. We hate you now. We should have gotten 100. Anyway, high school was great.
And it's not even 100. It's like just above the average.
Yeah.
It's like a B. You got a B.
Great.
You're so smart.
If I got a B
charm
on my midterms, I would have cried.
Oh.
Anyway.
We were very different students. I'll just say that much.
I guess just to go on this tangent. The only time my parents ever got upset with me in high school was when I came home in sophomore year with like kind of B and B pluses across the board on my first semester exams. And they were like, what's wrong? Like, are you okay? This isn't supposed to be what's happening. So, you know, for me, B is not great. But anyway, moving on. That was a little insight into academic Jonathan, teacher's pet, A plus kid. I need to do right to please people. Please help me. Anyway, Tom, what happened on this day for you?
I'm just going to say this is a lot of insight here real quick.
Yeah,
this
probably should be.
This feels like a Maruki counseling session. Real
yeah,
quick,
probably
that
a
we
little
just
bit.
Had.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh man.
What did you do? Cause I went to the palace today.
Well, I just, actually I was forced into my thing. So
oh,
I won't spoil
right.
what
yeah.
that is, but when you do the first part of the palace, you're forced into a thing the next day.
Cool.
So I did that thing.
Cool. I spent the evening watching the rest of the Bubbly Hills.
Oh, that's what I did too. Except
nice.
I watched the first part of
okay.
it because
cool.
I hadn't watched the second yet.
That's fair. I've been talking a lot about the OC in my real life actually, so it felt like appropriate timing.
Are you going for charm for a specific thing, or are you just doing charm?
It just seemed like it was the I kind of like just rotate in what I'm focusing on. So there's no like real rhyme or reason to when I'm doing like those
fair
things.
Enough.
It's more just like, oh, that was the DVD I took out. Especially for things like that, I kind of just like roll the dice and I'm like, I'll get this one for now.
Sure.
But yeah. And then
for me, I'm focusing guts, but
I should be probably. But yeah,
that was the only DVD I hadn't watched yet. So
okay.
I was like, I just had that one.
Cool. And then, yeah, I guess just to, since I'll be shorter the next day, I made lockpicks the evening that the story thing happened for me on the next day that I was locked into. So
this is now May 21st.
Yes. Yeah. Just to like get it out of the way on my end. I just, you know, quickly blew through that pretty much.
Cool. So in the morning of this day, you get to read on the train, which I read the magazine that I picked up from the bookstore called Medjed Menace,
nice.
Which remember that name. It'll come back.
Yep.
I
finished The Great Thief.
Ooh, Great Thief. Okay. And then there's also this really good quiz, which is a thing I actually didn't know. And I love when I actually learn things from this game, which is
yeah.
the quiz this week was about the silver ratio, which is like Japan's version of the golden ratio, which is like all their buildings are like built to the silver ratio sizing compared to the golden ratio, which is used in a lot of Western architecture. It was just like, it's a really cool little fact to me, but I'm also a total design dork, so
no,
I'm
there with you. I was always that kid who was like, I loved Legos, like building Legos and Kinects and all that stuff growing up, so like I always, I guess, flirted with the idea of like, oh, architecture is really interesting, but never went into it. Like I never was the prototypical rom-com architecture nerd guy who is studying at a cafe or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is definitely, I'm totally with you. Like every once in a while, there's a fact in these quiz that I'm like, oh, I'm happy to have learned that. That seems like a useful
yeah.
thing to know.
Yeah. And they also, I really like this moment because they bring up that things look cuter in the silver ratio when they're like rounder. So, and they're like, oh yeah, a lot of mascots' heads are like built to the silver ratio. And Morgana's like, oh, I guess you just make things cute when they're brown and have a big head. And then it's like, why are you looking at me that way? Because Morgana's head looks exactly like that.
It's a really good meta moment. Yeah. It's
yeah.
Yeah. I loved that joke.
It also doesn't make sense because
sure.
if you were looking at Morgana at that moment, Morgana would be a cat.
A normal cat. Yeah. It makes sense for us because we're looking at the like the Morgana on the page.
Right.
But yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
So that day I leveled to Kemi and I got access to new good drugs.
I cool.
think she's at like five now, four
Damn.
Or five. Also, without spoiling anything, I'm getting deeper into that story now, learning more about kind of like what happened to Kemi and her backstory, which is really interesting because it's actually like, I really like that story. It's pretty simple, but it is, it's a nice one. It's a feel good one. It's also getting weird because now me and Takemi are doing this thing where we're getting a little bit more familiar and she's getting like a little bit more weird, like BDSM-y.
Yeah.
Just to be frank. Like, there's a phone
With
call,
a
I think, in the... yeah, the earlier one has one of my favorite phone call answers ever, which is, she's like, oh, were you able to make it, like... You do something that, like, annoys her, and so she, like, gives you this really, really hard drug, and she's like, were you able to make it home? Like, maybe next time I should like make it harder or something. And you, one of your options in the dialogue is just punish me more. And it's like, oh my God, dude.
Yep. Like, yep. It like, I do also want to be here. It's like, whatever you're into is totally fine. And I don't think we're passing any judgment on Takemi.
Oh, no, no, no. At this point, but yeah, that's not the judgment.
We're passing the judgment on this conversation happening with a teenager or the teenager saying that to an adult. Yes.
Yeah. It's very weird. That age difference is like, what's going, like, Takemi, what?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
We should also figure out, this is a note for another time, but a note to have on the show, is we should figure out how we want to address, like, the longer term, the story arcs for those, because obviously we're both going at them at different times. We may very well get to a point where, like, I just don't level someone up that you do, or vice versa. We'll probably want to figure out how to, like, address those, especially once we have guests, because I'm assuming their guests that we have on will probably, like, gravitate towards certain confidants more than others, but yeah.
Sure. Yeah, if you have any ideas for that, let us know in the comments.
Yeah.
Then that evening of May 21st, I did the Big Bang Burger Challenge.
Oh.
Yeah. So the How'd Big Bang do? Burger Challenge, I did it. I completed nice. It. Wow. So the Big Bang Burger Challenge is the thing that you can do a couple times. It's cheaper in the evening, which is why I did it in the evening.
Yeah.
And if you, I think, I can't remember the exact stats you need. You certainly need some combination of like stats being at a certain level. I won't spoil, I guess. Also because I don't remember. And when you do complete it, you get one of every stat except kindness, and then you also get a charm, like an accessory. So it's like, and you can do that a couple more times as you level your stats up more. So it's a really valuable use of time if you are like ready to do it already, right? Otherwise, it just gets you guts.
Yeah, I am nowhere near it. And in my first time playing the game, when I was really bad at managing my time, I was so low on guts toward the end of the game that I just kept going to have the Big Bang Burger and not finishing it so I could get my guts up. That was like the only thing I could think to do at a certain point.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well,
managed to do that. Moving on to May 22nd, we are on the Sunday. So there was the shopping channel, which I bought the outdoor kit or something like that, which is basically gives you a bunch of elemental attack items.
I think I did too. Nice. Yeah.
And then smoothie was kindness this week. And I spent the day hanging out with Ryuji just to like get some points up.
Okay.
And it was the first time I was able to do a thing, which is he asked if we wanted to go hang out somewhere. And I was like, yeah, let's go get ramen. And we went to the ramen shop and hung out.
Nice.
And I got the decorative bowl item, which is the first of my room decorations.
Oh, awesome. That's great.
So for people who don't know this mechanic, if you do free time just like hanging out with someone that's not going to get them a confidant level up, you can occasionally invite them to go to a location that you've unlocked. And obviously we haven't unlocked many locations yet. But I had unlocked this ramen place with my previous Ryuji thing. And if you bring a person to the right, there's a couple locations or like one or two or locations for each person. Or if you bring them there on a hangout time, you're rewarded with this cosmetic item that you can put on the shelves or on the wall of your room. And so you get a little like memorabilia of that time. So this one was like a decorative ramen bowl, and now I have that in my room, and I love filling up the shelves. I love doing that as a thing.
It's a really cute thing to be able to do. I also hung out with Ryuji, but I was doing the What's Bonkin
level.
So
that also means you unlocked the gym
then. Yes. Yeah. Which I haven't been to yet, but I don't think I ever actually went to the first time I played.
I spent a lot of my time in the gym at the end of my run of Royal, because I had a lot of extra time. So I was just like, what am I going to spend this time on? And so I was going to the gym a lot and just like increasing my max stats, basically.
That's a good idea. What'd you do in the evening?
Evening, I leveled up Yoshida. So I got the first Yoshida skill that's like an actual skill and is nice because it lets you get a little like a little more out of negotiations with shadows, basically. That's all his things are, like getting more out of your negotiations with shadows.
Nice. I hung out with Sojiro that night, so yeah.
Hey, just to hang out with him.
Yeah, I think it was just like I don't know if it was a new level, but yeah, it was just one of those like, I might as well just get some more points because I haven't been making coffee as much, so I was like, I might as well do one.
Yeah, I have to do that too with him. I'm at this point where I need to just get him points, and
yeah,
I'm just takes so long. It feels so like such a waste of time, unfortunately.
Yeah, but and then we get to the next day, which is our final day for this week.
Yeah, so there's a quiz in the morning for on the May 23rd for about synesthesia. Just like it's not really, it's one of those like piece it together quizzes, which are always a little easier, I feel.
Yeah.
About what synesthesia is, of mixing your senses, basically. And then during the day, I hung out and leveled up Maruki.
Nice.
Because Maruki wanted to hang out, and I was like, yeah, I want to hang out with Maruki.
I was going to, but then I hung out with Ryuji, and forgive me, I was actually incorrect. This is the day that I unlocked the gym. The day before, oh, okay. I think I was pretty far behind on Ryuji, so I was like, let me level this up. So today was the day where I got the gym and bonked and
gotcha. Bonked it up.
Yeah.
Well, Maruki is a valuable one, as always, like we said. It's a good one to do as you can, but also... gets you some really cool abilities. I guess I won't spoil this. We can talk about it when you do it next. But, like, the first ability from Maruki's confidant tree that you get from leveling him up is just, like, really neat. It's just, like, a okay. fun one. And then that evening, I did a full load of laundry from the palace.
Again, anything good?
Yeah, actually, it wasn't bad. It was some good gets.
Nice. I did the beef bowl shop and met the politician there for it was like the first time he sees me there, basically.
Okay, gotcha.
I did that, and I pretty much will probably save laundry until we unlock something later in the game. That's usually how I do it, for better or worse.
But, gotcha.
Yeah.
I had four items from I had four sooty things from Marame's okay. Palace.
Cool.
And the way that it usually works, I think, is that the thing that you get is basically, like, the best, like, the items that you're gonna get from the palace you're in are usually better than any of the items you could buy from E-Wise
okay.
during that palace.
Okay.
So, like, doing it in between like this is actually a pretty good way, because you can then... This was, like, basically what my entire week was built around, was getting money and planning for what I was going to buy before going back into the palace. Because I was like a little underleveled and a little weak in yeah. this palace because I'm playing on hard. And so I was entirely structuring it around like, okay, so I know I want to get my, I want to do laundry so that I can see what these items are, so that I can equip them on people, so that I can go to EY, so that I can buy the new things that I don't need, right? You know, like, and make sure I know what I need or what I don't need, and I can sell everything I don't need.
Totally.
And then I will have the money to go buy healing items, which I was running low on, and then I'll have that money to go buy this and that. And, like, I'm finally at this point where I feel like this is sort of, like, there's this curve in this game where eventually money is, like, literally means nothing. Like, yeah. you just have so much money, it's insane. But early on, you really do have to, like, plan. Like,
totally.
It takes some... You cannot buy everything. You really need to be making, kind of, like, picking and choosing as you go.
Even with the extra money that we have from the DLC, like, it's easy to spend yeah. and just kind of be wiped. So especially without that, yeah, you're at a pretty big disadvantage and need to really be smart about your resource managing, which is probably why a lot of people do go to Mementos early, where we're like, yeah, we don't need as much because it's a great place to just go grind and collect.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I was actually considering going to Mementos at one point because I was like, maybe I should just go get some money, right? Like,
yeah.
I kind of need it. There's also the funny thing, and this is not getting into story spoilers, but the curve then I think can fall off again at the very end. Because at the very end, you're spending so much money if
That's
you're
fair.
Trying to go after, like, really high-level personas.
Yeah.
You could be spending so much money on that. And so it's, like, this weird thing where in the middle, money is literally irrelevant. And at the beginning, at the end, you, like, actually got to be thinking about your money.
Really, really keep an eye on that stuff. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that was my week. That was our week's. Did you said what you did in the evening, right?
That was the 23rd? Yeah, that was what I did that day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I?
So,
yeah, I'm not crazy. I'm sorry. I accidentally wrote down 2 days as the 23rd. Because I told you this before the show, I accidentally played the day after without just thinking about it, because it's easy to get into that groove with free time.
Oh, yeah.
I played through a little bit and just played that extra day, but I accidentally wrote them both down as the 23rd, so... That'll be fun for next week.
luckily, everything is has a number on it, and it shouldn't be too hard to, you know.
Only when I'm taking bad notes. But yeah, that is that weekend.
That's the week of the 17th to the 23rd. Jonathan, let's finish this off, as we always do, with a Persona pseudonym and a pop quiz.
Indeed. Of course, Persona pseudonym is where I try to test Tom's acumen of the Persona's personae in Persona 5 and see if he knows their real names versus the sort of like nicknames they get. So I am going to give you one from this new palace, even though we're not going to discuss the palace later on. I was trying to
like memorize them as I was playing. It was very stressful.
They are in this palace, so I don't think I'm crazy. Okay. Rooftop Lion.
Oh, I know which one it is. I just don't remember its name. It's not Shikioji, because Shikioji is the paper guy.
It does start with an S. I'll give you that.
Oh, I know this one so well, too, because they bring it up a lot in Strikers. Oh.
It's got a lot of vowels in its name. Let me know when you give up, when you tap out.
I know exactly. It's the yellow-pink lion dude.
Yeah, who's kind of like sticking his butt up in the air, and he's got like a green like tuft toward the back.
And he's called a rooftop lion because he's based off of one of those things that is the name of the thing he is, that is like a lion statue.
Yeah, kind of like a gargoyle.
I'm throwing my towel in.
That's understandable. It's they're called a Shisa.
Shisa, yes, with two A's.
Yeah,
there
two I's, two A's, yeah. Not a name I remembered before I clicked back into this page, so I don't blame you for not having gotten this one.
We're starting to get into the point where there's a lot of Japanese names.
Yes.
Which is fine, I'm not upset about that, but it's just like, it's going to be a lot harder for me to remember Japanese names than it is like Pixie.
Oh, yeah, know, for sure.
Jack-o'-lantern.
Captain Kidd. Yeah, like, there are...
Right.
There are very more, I think, like, not English... they are English-facing, but I think they are related to... Like, there's some... I don't even want to say Norse myth, but there's, like, some mythological things that come in from sort of all pantheons that help you answer these. But there will be some later on,
too. There is Norse myth. There's Thor in this.
And Loki.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll get to Loki at a much later level, because apparently he is level 75. Anyway, now over to you for a pop quiz, Tom.
All right. So this is where I test you, the viewers' knowledge on some sort of little trivia moment that happened in the game this week. This week, I talked to one of my favorite NPCs, consistent NPCs that is in the game, which is the newspaper club member right outside of your class in Shujin Academy, and you can ask the newspaper member this time about a bunch of stuff, and when you ask this newspaper club girl what's new, she tells you about Madarame, and she tells you about his pupil, and she's heard about that Madarame has a pupil. She's referring to Yusuke here, and she has heard two things about this pupil that she tells you. One is that he goes to Kosei High. What is the other thing that she has heard about Madarame's pupil?
Tom?
Yeah?
I'm going to be real with you.
Yeah.
I've never spoken to this person.
Oh, she's great!
I had no idea this was a recurring NPC to talk to.
She's one of my favorites. I love her so much.
I'll have to go check
in. She tells you about weird little things, and yeah, it's great.
Well,
anyway,
I hope someone else can know it. Because
that's hopefully, yeah, if you know it, leave it a comment, send us a tweet, send us an email at dornology@gmail.com. I'm at Tom R. Marks on Twitter. He's at JM Dornbush on Twitter. You can go if you are listening on a podcast. Great. We love you. Thank you so much for doing so. Please leave a review if you like us, wherever you have. Leave comments saying nice things if you want to. It means a lot to us. It helps the show grow. And if you ever want to see our faces while we're doing this, you can go to YouTube. Dornology YouTube channel and leave a comment there. Leave your answer there. We look at comments there a lot, or try to. And thank you very much. This was fun, Jonathan. Thank you as always,
of course,
for being my, my noble co-host.
I did want to just say since we last recorded, I did check and there were a few extra reviews on the Apple Podcast version. So just wanted to say thank you and a shout out to Scott, Meredith, my girlfriend, Snowfly, and Pumpin' Skid for your reviews of the show. We do really appreciate it, and thank you for leaving those.
Yeah, and if you'd like to see us do something better, you know, tell us that too in a constructive way. We appreciate constructive
feedback. Use your kindness stat to leave constructive criticism.
On that note, I think that's all the time we have for Take Your Time. It's time to go to bed. So thank you very much, Jonathan, and we will see you next week.
Nice to steal you.